Are you ready for the Lord to come back? Truly. Can you honestly answer that question? You are ready for the Lord to come back right now. Yeah. Some yes. Some maybe, well, yeah, but you know, maybe there's some buts that are there. But my kids, but I haven't done this, but I haven't experienced that in my life yet. So the preparation for getting ready for the Lord's return, that's what Jesus is going to be talking about to us tonight. Kind of a review from where we were a couple weeks ago, because last week my cousin was here, but in verse 31, Jesus encouraged the disciples and us as disciples to seek the kingdom of God and to know that all of our provisions would be met, all of our needs would be provided for. And then our last verse that we left with, it says, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart's going to be also. And this is a continuation, really, of picking up right there in verse 35 of what he's been talking about. But Jesus is going to shift from our earthly needs, from our present position, if you will, to being watchful about our future, about the things that are going to happen in the days to come. And he's going to tell us that disciples are to be moment by moment expecting and ready for Jesus to come back. Wouldn't it be nice if he'd come back while we're doing Bible study? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you're spending time in prayer and the Lord would come back? Or you're in devotion and the Lord would return and call us home? Boy, none of us want to get caught while we're doing something we shouldn't be doing. And it's times like these as we gather together that I think prepare us and equip us to be mindful that at any moment he could be here. Because the stage is set. Things are in place. Things are ready. He can come back. And since generations began after Christ left, we've been expecting his return at any moment. And as good followers of Christ, it should be that immediate expectancy that we should have. Two things we're going to talk about tonight. And one is going to be watching for the Lord. And number two is going to be working for the Lord. But it's not the same as what we were talking about on Sunday. Not our jobs, but our call, our purpose, our reason for God saving us and God creating us, being watchful when we're working. So let's look at verse 35, and we'll probably read through verse 40 in this first section. Verse 35, Luke 12 says, "Let your waist be girded, and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him," get this, "immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Watching for the Lord. Jesus likens this to a servant, likens this to a steward. And he basically says in verses 35 and 36, make sure your waists are girded and your lamps are burning. Well, what does that mean? Anybody here have their waist girded? No, we don't wear those types of garments anymore. But it was these garments, flowing garments that men would wear that they would have to strap up and gird up so that they could move more quickly, move a little bit more easily. Like that's why we wear pants, so that we can move much more easily. So we don't gird ourselves like they did in these days. At least I hope we don't. So basically Jesus is saying, be ready and be patient. Be girded and have your lamps burning. And be ready. As Christians, we are going to be, if you look at verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. We're going to be blessed when we are expecting Jesus' return. How is that? How is it that we're going to be blessed as followers when Jesus comes back? Blessings? Blessing means, oh, how happy. See, when Jesus comes back, guess what he brings with him? His rewards. He brings with him his rewards. And so when he returns and finds us faithful to what he's called us to, faithfully serving him and honoring him and being used by him, he's going to be well pleased with us. And what a beautiful picture he paints here, isn't it? Blessed are those servants who are watching. Now, does that mean we should all be outside right now making sure we look up in the air? I mean, is that what Jesus is meaning? Watch, watch, watch. No. He's saying, know what time, know what the seasons are. Know, as the scriptures say, that there's going to be rumors of wars and earthquakes and all these natural disasters are going to increase. We are there, are we not? We are in the state. The times are set for this. So as Christians, it's not looking with our eyes. It's looking with our hearts. Perfect song. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Let us see the times that we're in. Let us be mindful of those things. And it's people like you that desire to come together and read the scriptures and pray and seek the Lord that you are going to be in that state of watching. Because we'll be blessed because we're prepared. We don't want to be caught off guard. We don't want to be caught with our hands beyond our backs, being lazy. We want to be watchful to his return. It's a wonderful promise in the Word that if you are found faithful, watching for Jesus, if you are prepared and ready for him to come, that he will in turn come and serve you. And Jesus, serve us? How many of us are like Peter? Oh, no, Lord, you're not going to serve me. We want to serve you, Lord. But that is the character and the nature of God, to serve us. We were talking last night at the biblical finance class about giving to God. I mean, what does God need that we could give to him? Anything? You know, is God short on anything that we could help him out? No. We give to him because he's given to us. Anything we give to him already came from him anyway. So we're giving back to him. So Jesus wants to set the stage that he's a servant. Didn't he say, I came not to be served, but to serve? And in his return, guess what? He's also going to serve. He's that example. He's the epitome of what service is. God's very nature is to serve and to bless and to provide. And I bet if you would look at your life, you would see God do those things in your own life. How he's blessed you, how he's provided for you, how he's shown you his love. Jesus says here in verse 38, and if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch. Well, what is that? It's in the middle of the night. It's when I'm sleeping, okay? Because in the Roman clock, from 9 p.m. to midnight was the second watch. From midnight to 3 a.m. was the third watch. Those are the hours that I sleep. And I'm not watching. But he's saying at any time, at every time, even when it's inconvenient, even when it goes, when it's stressful, to be ready. Even in those times when it's not convenient. Because what does he say? He's going to come at a time when you don't expect. See? If we expect him to come back right now, he's not going to come back. But if we don't expect him, then he could come back. But we're supposed to be expecting him to come back, so it's a vicious cycle, isn't it? It's a catch-22. Be ready, but don't expect. But be ready to expect. Very expectant for the Lord to return. Be ready for service. He says here in the end of verse 38, right? Or where is it? No. Where is it? Immediately. 30 what?
They may open him immediately.
36, back. Okay, great. Thanks. Be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding. Here, Jesus is bringing in an illustration. So many people look into this as being the marriage supper lamb or when we are wed to Christ. It's not that. Jesus is just setting an illustration. When a master comes back from a wedding, that his servants are to be ready to open the door. They're to be ready to bring him in and to serve him and to be there for him. So that's what Jesus is trying to point here, is that we're ready for service immediately, that there's no delay. When Jesus tells you to do something, you should say yes. Yes, Lord, you know his voice, you know his heart, you know his character. When he asks you to do something, there should be no question. There should be no delay. We should be immediately there to serve him. It's a constant readiness for the Lord. And it's not a position, it's not anything that you do for the Lord, it's just an attitude. It's just a heart to know that you are there for the Lord when he wants you to. Because servants, as servants, were to be mindful and watchful for their masters, were to serve them. And if we're truly servants or slaves, as we've been learning with Ephesians, we're servants of God. We do what he tells us and honor him. He says in verse 39, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. I mean, wouldn't we all be like that? If we knew when our houses were going to be broken into, if we knew when something bad was going to happen, wouldn't we do all we could do to stop it? It's saying basically, here's a story that you can't be ready for these things. So what should you do? Always be ready. Always be watchful. Always be cautious. Always be in a position to receive Christ. If you knew when someone was going to break in your house, you would do something about it. You know, I have a security alarm, but that didn't get in there until after my house was broken into. It's, again, you don't know, so you always be ready. Therefore, you also, he says in verse 40, in other words, you also, in the same way, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So we are to be in that same place. You don't know, we don't know when Jesus is coming back, do we? A lot of books have been written. What was it? 1988? That was a year they were picking. All those different things. Nobody knows. But don't we know he is coming back? We do know he is coming back. Wow, that was cool. And that's the difference. We don't need to know when. We don't know, we need to know what the time is, what the hour is, what the year is. We just need to know that he is coming back. That's what his children should do. In Revelation 19:7, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. As the bride of Christ, we need to be ready. We don't want to be in the position of saying, oh Lord, no, wait. We don't want to be in the position to look back or to say, oh, I wish it wasn't at this moment. We need to be, yes, Lord, come now. Are your affairs in order that you're ready to go? And you know, I don't think we'll ever be in that place where, I don't know what that is. I'm going to turn it off. Is it recording at all? It is. I don't think we'll ever be in that place where we won't, you know, say to ourselves, well, I wish this would have happened, or I wish my children could have seen this, or something could have happened in our lives. But is it going to matter when Jesus comes back? No, it's not going to matter. We're going to want to be in his presence. We're going to want to be in our earthly home. We should be tired of the earth. We should be tired of living here and toiling here, as we've been talking about, and really be ready to step in to his presence. In Revelation 22:12, Jesus says, behold, I'm coming quickly. He's coming quickly. In the blink of an eye, it's going to be here. Now, this is going to be a long process. When the Lord returns, hey, we're there, and it's quick. So find yourselves watching, seeing, serving, being faithful in those times. And that's what we transition into in verse 41, is now the working for the Lord. Verse 41, we got Peter back on the scene. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward who his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Peter asks a question as the Lord is speaking about being watchful and being ready and being prepared. And Peter's got a good question. Lord, are you just speaking to us? Or is this for everybody? Remember, I think it was in verse, let me check my notes here, back in verse 22, Jesus says he was turned and speaking to the disciples. And Peter has this question, who are you speaking this to, God? Who are you speaking to this, Lord? Great question. And there's one thing, one characteristic of Peter that I love in the Gospels. He wasn't afraid to ask the Lord questions. He wasn't afraid to ask what was on his mind or his heart, and he wasn't worried about, you know, upsetting the Lord. Okay, he made some dumb statements, I'll give you that. But he asked the Lord certain questions when he had them. And I wonder, do we do that as followers of Christ? Do we really ask the Lord those questions that are on our hearts? Or are we feeling ashamed or you know, are there any dumb questions for God? I don't think so. I don't think you can ask a dumb question to the Lord. He always wants to answer. He always wants to respond. And so Peter says, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And quite honestly, I don't even know if Peter understood the answer. It took me a while to even find the answer. Because how does Jesus usually respond? He usually tells a parable or an illustration or a story. And to answer his question, he sets the stage and paints a picture. Who are you talking to, God? And Jesus says, who then is that faithful and wise steward? When it comes to faith, when it comes to someone who's wise, it's someone that does the will of God in their life. That's a faithful steward. That's a faithful follower of Christ. What has God gifted you with? What has God knit inside of you? Are you being faithful to that? Are you being faithful to what He's made you to be? Are you using the gifts and talents that He's given to you? I mean, if you're gifted in prayer, you should be a person of prayer. If you're gifted in service or building things or working with your hands, you should be building things for the Lord. That's being faithful to the Lord. And Jesus paints that picture. Who then is that faithful and wise steward who his master will make ruler over his household? The word steward is a manager or a house manager. That's what Jesus is talking about. Someone that was in control of the person's property and home. And Jesus is saying, the master will make you ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season. They were to take care of feeding the servants. They were there to take care of the cattle, the sheep, all the affairs of the master. They had charge of the house. And a faithful person, a faithful steward, was one who did his job and did it well, didn't have to be corrected, didn't have to be challenged, didn't have to run behind, but the job just got done. Think about that in your own life. Has God given you a job? Has God given you a call upon your life, and are you being faithful with that? Are you using it to the best of your ability without anybody having to come alongside you, without God having to correct you? Do you just use your gifts naturally? Naturally. And to not truly try to operate in the gifts that you don't have. I mean, we can all long for good gifts and good abilities, but I'm not a singer. I'm not a musician. I'm not going to do what Chad did tonight. I certainly wouldn't do it well. So I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't be faithful to what God's called me to do. And I ask you, are you being faithful in that thing that God has called you to, that God has made you to be? Each of us have to manage our own households. We are all stewards in this room. We are all called to manage something. Are we being faithful to it? Are we being faithful to what God has called us to? Because in verse 43, it says, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. When Jesus returns, he wants to find you busy about what he's given to you. He wants you to be found faithful in these things. And so this is what Jesus does, is breaks it down really into four categories. Number one is the faithful steward, and that faithful one is rewarded for being faithful. Blessed is that steward. The other one is the ignorant. It's a disciplined a little bit. And I think we see that in verse 47. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself for 48. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. In other words, there's discipline in the body of Christ. There's discipline that must take place when we're not doing what we're called to. Doesn't the Bible say, whom he loves, he chastens? Whom God loves, he chastens. He wants to correct, because why? You're not being used to your fullest. So there will be that correction that's there. Then there's the disobedient servant. They're disciplined moderately. That's in verse 47. And that servant who knew his father's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Now listen, the thing about these disciplines that Jesus is talking about is he still loves us. He loves us enough to correct us. He loves us enough that when there's a disobedience or unfaithfulness in our lives, that he wants us to get on track. He wants to put us back in that place of being obedient and being faithful to him to reward us. Of course, the one that got cut in half, that one's pretty tough. And then that is just a plain out disobedient. You know, it says servant, look at verse 46, and the master of that servant will come on that day when he is not looking for him and at an hour when he is not aware and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with who? Unbelievers. The absolute disobedient. Those that reject Christ is this servant who says, you know, my master's not coming back. Jesus isn't coming back. Why do I even bother being faithful? Why do I even bother doing the things that I know I should do? The know the things I've been called to do. Why should I even bother? And he's being disobedient. I mean, he beats the servants. He eats and gets drunk. I mean, that's not honoring the Lord. It takes more than being a Christian than just saying I'm a Christian, doesn't it? It takes more to being a Christian than just saying, oh, I love the Lord. Really, your actions don't speak that. How many of us know people in our lives that say, I believe in Jesus, but their lives do not show it, not one bit. Not one iota does it show a love for Christ. In fact, there's disobedience there. I mean, how many Christians do I know that don't mind going out and getting drunk and acting like the world? Jesus says, you know what? You're as bad as an unbeliever. They're not believers is what they are. Because here it says, Luke tells us that his portion will be with the unbelievers. Matthew says that his portion will be with the hypocrites. Hypocrite. What's a hypocrite? One that says one thing and does something else. That's truly not a believer. It is hypocritical of you to say you serve Jesus and not act as though you serve Christ. And we've got one stop tonight. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. We will look at verse 5. Philippians 2 and 5. We read, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, and of those, under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I ask you, who calls Jesus Christ Lord and Master? Is it just the believers? Who? You can answer. Everyone. Believers, unbelievers, hypocrites, Pharisees, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Doesn't that mean he's Master? And if truly he is Master of all, then all are accountable to him. All are accountable to what his role is. All who are accountable to faith in him. Or disobedience to him. All are. So he is the master. He is the ultimate master. Even those people that say, well, I don't believe in him. Well, one day, guess what? They're going to believe in him. But then it'll be too late. It'll be too late for them to receive him. But he will always be master. He will always be Lord. And yet us, we are in that place where he's our loving Lord, where he's our loving master, where we honor him by working for him, where we honor him by doing things for him. To be watchful for Christ is to be close to him. Think about that for a minute. As I was talking, we want to watch for the Lord. And the way we do that is spend time and stay close to him. Because when we're staying close, he's always going to be in front of our attention. He's always going to be at the forefront of our minds. It's not going to be we're overwhelmed with work, or we're overwhelmed with the economy, or we're overwhelmed with the holidays. We're spending time constantly with Jesus. Keeps him close. That's watching him. That's watching for the Lord in every area of your life. Because what? The closer the Lord gets, guess what? The closer the Lord gets involved in your life. The closer the Lord gets involved in your thought process. The more the Lord gets into the attitudes of your heart and the ways you walk and the ways you respond and the ways you communicate. The more I spend time with God, the more I speak the things of God. The more I spend time with people of the Lord who know the Lord, the more we share about Jesus. You know, even men's breakfast. We go to men's breakfast, we talk about the Lord. We pray. We're examples. That's keeping the Lord close. That's watching the Lord. Now, working for the Lord means serving him. Lovingly serving. Lovingly doing things for him. By doing things for each other, isn't it? Again, what can we do for the Lord that he can't do himself? We can help each other. We can help those who don't know him and love on people. He is the master of the believer and the unbeliever. He is the master of the faithful and the unfaithful. The difference is how you will be treated. And there's the list. That's the difference. Will you be rewarded? Will you be corrected? Or will you be destroyed? Those are the choices, guys. Those are the choices we have. And be thankful that the Lord takes the time to correct you. Be thankful that the Lord takes the time to show you the error of your ways. We're none are perfect. We all are a work in progress. And thankfully, the Lord is there alongside us, showing us. Because I believe that when you're doing what you were created to do, you will have more joy in your life than anything else. If you're truly doing what you were created to do. It goes back to that same thing. Find a job you love. You'll never work another day in your life. Find that thing God made you to do. You'll never tire of doing it. You'll never wear out. You'll never get burnt out. We all need vacations. We all need breaks. But you will have such a passion and a desire to be faithful, to be just doing what God's called you to do. Without somebody telling you, without somebody showing you. In the church, our church, any church, if you're doing what you've been called to do and you do it well, you can keep doing it, right? Nobody has to correct you. Nobody has to show you. But if you're constantly going back and saying, well, you're not doing that right, we got to show you how to do that. No, you can't act like that when somebody, you know, when somebody brings you a prayer request. You can't pray with them like that. You know, there's correct. Okay, maybe that's not the best place for you. Again, there's a place that God wants you. There's a place in the body of Christ God wants to use you. And if you are doing it because God's put it on your shoulders, you'll do it great. That's the faithful servant. Continually serving. As you expectantly await the Lord's return, be sure to be busy doing what he has for you to do. And do it with the best of your abilities. The greatest thing about it is he gives you all the resources. He gives you all the strength and all the abilities to do it. So as we go back to Luke chapter 12, I want to read this again. Verse 42. Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give him their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Blessed will you be when the Lord finds you doing what he wants you to do. You'll be blessed. And God will be blessed. The body of Christ will be blessed. And let us serve the Lord. Let us be watchful. Let us be people that get ready. Let us be people that are ready. Ready for his return. I mean, all of us here can sing that song, "Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come now." We're getting tired. We're getting overwhelmed. It's too much pressure from the world. Come, Lord. But at the same time with that request, we should also say, God, give us strength. God, give us the strength to reach a world out there that doesn't know you. Give us the strength to be there for each other, to shoulder each other's burdens, to walk together, and to see the glory of God in our midst.